3. Telisburg Palace, City of Telisburg, Kingdom of Karis. Your Majesties, Prince Narman and Princess Olivia. Narman Bates stepped past the bowing chamberlain with a lifetime's aplomb. From his expression, no one could have guessed that the rotund little prince wasn't walking into his own throne room. His wife was as tall as he was and far more slender, and she, too, had a lifetime's experience as a noblewoman and a princess consort, yet she couldn't match his apparent calm. No one could have called her overtly nervous. At the same time, no one could have doubted she would have much preferred to be somewhere else. They crossed the same polished stone floor Baron Pinehollow had crossed before them, and Narman considered how the throne room, or its inhabitants at least, had changed as they halted before the same pair of thrones. Caleb wore the Carisian crown of state, which had recently become the imperial crown of state as well, while Charlian wore an only marginally smaller crown without the crown of state's rubies. Despite the crowns, neither of them were in full court regalia, at least, for which Narman was profoundly, if privately, grateful. Olivia looked stately and beautiful in full regalia. Narman looked like a round, fuzzy ball which had somehow acquired a head and feet. Stubby little feet. I suppose it's a good thing I decided to do this before I actually laid eyes on Caleb in the flesh, as it were, for the first time, the Emeraldian prince thought with a touch of whimsy. If I'd had time to see how tall, broad-shouldered, and disgustingly handsome he is with my own eyes, and work up a proper state of livid jealousy, I might not have been able to do it after all. Having your head chopped off is much less irritating than admitting that the man you're about to surrender to looks much more like a king than you do. That thought carried him to the foot of the waiting thrones, and he bowed deeply while Olivia curtsied. Your Majesties, he murmured. Actually, Prince Narman, Caleb said dryly, we've decided upon a slightly revised protocol. Since my wife and I, Narman wondered if Caleb himself heard the profound, proud satisfaction in the emphasis he placed upon the word wife, are both reigning heads of state in our own rights, and since there's always the possibility of confusion, it's been decided that while it's correct and proper to address either of us individually as Majesty in the absence of the other, the proper protocol now is that in Karis, when both of us are present, I am properly addressed as Your Majesty, while she is properly addressed as Your Grace. In Chisholm, where we'll also be spending approximately half the year, she will be properly addressed as Your Majesty, while I'll be properly addressed as Your Grace. Ah, I see, Your Majesty. Narman felt his lip trying to twitch in something he suspected would have been a smile if he'd allowed it to show itself. I can readily understand where that might have created confusion. Of course, I'm quite sure that when word of your marriage, not to mention your coronation as emperor, reaches Zion, the reaction will be substantially worse than confusion. One can only hope, Caleb replied, then leaned back in his throne and cocked his head. And while we're on the topic of news reaching Zion, I'm sure they'll be equally perturbed by the news of your arrival here and the reason for your visit. May I suppose that your arrangements with Commodore Jastrow and Duke Solomon have adequately secured your rear, shall we say, against Bishop Executor Willis and his reaction to your decision?